Praise the Lord. Well, take your Bible and go to the last word of the book of Acts, Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. We're going to look there in just an extension of what I talked about this morning. That Paul had never been to Rome. We're preaching through Romans in the morning. And so Paul's never, but now he did go to Rome, and we're going to find him in Rome in this text. You remember that he was arrested and appealed to Caesar. And they said, well, we'd let you go, but since you've appealed to Rome you'll go. And so they sent him to Rome, and you know what happened. They put him on that ship, and they got out there, and a big storm came up, and the ship broke up. And they wound up, as the ship broke up, they were all on these planks on wooden boards, and they floated to the island. And when they got there, you know the story of how the serpent came out of the fire, and Paul had attached himself to Paul, and didn't kill him, and he shook it off, and on he went. And finally they wind up in Rome, and he's in jail in Rome waiting for a time. Now, history's going to record that Paul's going to get out of jail in Rome, go for about two more years ago, going to bring him back, and they're going to kill him. But he's not going to die at the book of Acts. But we come to the end of the book of Acts, and he's in Rome, and he's there. And here's what we find in the life of the Apostle Paul as Acts, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, really the Acts of the Holy Spirit is what I like to call it, where Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31 come to a conclusion. And here is the text, and the Bible says, and he, that is Paul, stayed two full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, comma. And then one word ends Acts. Say that word with me. Unhindered. He's preaching, teaching with all openness, and what's the word? Unhindered. It is the word hindered with the A in front of it, like the word moral. You put an A in front of it, it's amoral, there are no morals. Well, here, he's hindered? No, he's not hindered. He is unhindered. There is nothing keeping Paul from preaching. Now, he's in jail, but he's unhindered. Do you get it? All right. Nero is on the throne during this period of time. Nero is going to fiddle while Rome burns, and he's going to blame the Christians. He's killing every Christian he can find. And Nero's killing Christians, but Paul is unhindered. You understand, the culture is all against him, but he is unhindered. Now listen to me, beloved. Don't be hindered in sharing the gospel. Nero's not on the throne in America. Nobody's going to kill you for sharing the gospel. Ostracized, maybe spit on a little bit, made fun of, yeah, but unhindered. What we must do, we must ever do, is the church must ever get its eyes, the vision of the church must cease to be so internal, but rather be external. You got to begin to turn your... I'm not saying we don't do things inside. There was... I got a call this week from one of our folks that had a death in the family. And they told me all what their connection group was doing for them. This is internal. And I mean, it was just on and on and on. I got another report of that this morning when I talked about the gentleman that had died. Billy Cox, that her Sunday school class has said for a year, they told her how many things they were going to do for Janae and those two kids. It's amazing. That just came to me out in the hall today, Pastor. There is an internal view of the church. Okay, we do things inside. But if we are all internal with view, we'll die. We must have an external look. Our good friend is Tony Morgan. He has written the book, Unstuck. We hosted a conference here with Tony about this. And our staff went, many other pastors came. I love his book. If you've never read Unstuck, it's just good for us as a Christian to read it. And in his book, Unstuck, he quotes David Hanson. Now, David Hanson is a secular business person. And here's what Hanson said. When you stick with your current customers, put that for the church, if we just stick with the current customers, the members, if you stick with your current customers come hell or high water, you wind up cutting yourself off from new customers. Your product or service becomes so tailored to your current customers that it stops appealing to fresh blood, and that's how your company starts to die. So let's just put that in church vernacular. When you stick with your current members only, come hell or high water, you wind up cutting yourself off from lost people, and your ministry become so tailored to your current members that it stops appealing to the lost in the highways and hedges, and that's how your church starts to die. There must be an external look. I'm not saying it's all we do. I know churches that they never take care of anything inside. That'll kill a church too. You got to do ministry, but ministry cannot run the day and kill the external look. Here is Paul, and as I said this morning, he was not ashamed of the gospel, and he was going with the gospel. He was indebted to the gospel. We all are in debt to the gospel, and we are to tell it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us that while Paul was in prison, the Word of God was not bound. You can't put the Bible in jail. It gets out and goes. So I want to draw six. Normally I do seven. I'm just going to do six. I want to give you six thoughts out of these two verses tonight. I went back and took this is a TED Talk, I guess. I share these principles. I'll share them next week in Birmingham for the North American Mission Board. I share these. I don't know what I've ever, maybe one time years ago I shared them here. But I share these principles out of these two verses with a lot of pastors in these North American Mission Board evangelism gatherings. And I'll do it in Trustful, Alabama next Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon next week. Do that two or three times a year in these gatherings. Did you see where Johnny Hunt's leaving Woodstock Church and going to be the new evangelism director at the North American Mission Board? Shocker. You talk about a shock. Man, they're introducing a new pastor at Woodstock next Sunday. Young guy going to come along. He says he's 36 years old. I thought, man, what a kid. I was 36 when I came here. So they got this young guy, and Johnny's leading out. I'm going to be with him in this. And this is what I'll share if the Lord doesn't change my heart. But I wanted to share it with you tonight, just kind of on the tail of what I did this morning. And then I want to give you an assignment and some help to do your assignment tonight. So let's look. How do we keep the gospel unhindered and not get into it? Now, listen to me, friend. A church can hinder the gospel. You can get in the way, but you can't stop the gospel. The gospel will run over you like a milk truck. You can't stop it. It's barreling down the highway. Now, I know churches that get in its way, throw nails in front of the truck, and try to get it off on a side. But I'm telling you, our job is to not hinder. The gospel's what do we do so the gospel is unhindered? Well, let me give you six of these. Maybe I'll give you all seven of them if I have time tonight. All right, number one, what advances the gospel? That's what I'm talking to you about tonight. Number one, faithful stewardship advances the gospel. Look at this. It says that he was stayed in his own rented quarters for 2 years. How did Paul rent a house when he's in jail? He's in his own, he's in prison, but he's in his own, now he's a Roman citizen, so he's getting a little special treatment, all right? But same time, he's got to pay for these special quarters that they allowed him to stay in. There's two things that come by that. Number one, Paul was a wealthy man when he became a believer. Probably had a good accountant, good bank account. Probably had some leftovers. But secondly, he was a great fundraiser. And you find in Scripture that Paul raised money. He was also very generous as he gave and he sent offerings. But other churches, the Philippian church, sent an offering into him. We know that that occurred. And I'm here to tell you that faithful stewardship advances the gospel. Now listen to me, Olive. When you put your offering in the offering plate, you're advancing the gospel. You're sending through our own cooperative program around the world and across Florida. We do missions together. And last year, they sent us a little deal. We led the state of Florida in giving dollar amount to the cooperative program in Florida. And pride goes before falling on your face, all right? But they said it to us. They sent us. We showed a little video up here. Tommy Green said, way to go. Amen. Keep it up. I'm telling you, you're touching the world when you give. You touch it when you give right here. You touch it when you build that college place out there this morning. I told you in one of the services in the second service about the young lady from Brazil I met this morning. She just walked in here today, and we signed her up, and she's coming, being a part of who we are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Grateful to God for that. A church that advances the gospel is a generous church. It's faithful stewardship. You give week by week by week, and that's how you advance the gospel. Every vision must be paid for. Every vision. If you're going to build something, go somewhere, do it, you got to have a budget to do that. Every vision has got to be paid for. Paul advanced the gospel through faithful stewardship. Secondly, kingdom preaching. Kingdom preaching advances the gospel. Notice it says he stayed for 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and he welcomed those people. Verse 31, he was preaching the kingdom of God. Kingdom preaching advances the gospel. This was a theocracy, not a monarchy. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. God is the Lord, and he's the one we preach. We preach his kingdom. We don't preach your kingdom. We don't preach my kingdom. We don't preach Olive kingdom. It's not up for vote. It's not a democracy. Well, all in favor of telling the world about. No, no. You've come to Jesus, and he said, go tell. You don't get a vote. You can vote to be disobedient, but our job is to be obedient and to share the kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's why we give an invitation in our church. Not everybody does that, but we invite people most times to come. But if they don't come here, we ask them to go there. We started the next step, just a different way of giving the invitation. Matter of fact, in a larger room like this on Sunday mornings, a lot of times people just feel more comfortable going out, sitting in a place like that. I saw Brother Mike back here. We had a good day at Warrington today, 205 there, over 200. Anytime we're over 200, we had a good day and had some new military people. Mike's doing a great job with that and helping us, and had some people that came, trusted the Lord today. And so it's a good thing. We give an invitation there, and we give an invitation over there, and we give an invitation up here. You're just preaching the kingdom. And any time that you preach the kingdom demands that you come and bow before the king. That's what the kingdom is. You don't have a kingdom without a king. And when Jesus is the king, you come and bow before the king. And that's what Paul was preaching. He was preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God advances the gospel. You can kill the church, you can burn the church down, you can tear churches down, you can kill preachers, you can kill deacons, you can kill members, and some of them we ought to, but that's another story. Oh, come on, at least smile at me tonight. You're killing me up here, all right? I'm just telling you, it can be hard, but you cannot kill the kingdom of God. You can't stop it. It advances, and you ought to get on that bus because it's going somewhere you want to go. Hallelujah. Faithful stewardship advances the kingdom. Secondly, kingdom preaching advances the gospel. Thirdly, inspirational writing. Now, don't miss this. Inspirational writing advances the gospel. While Paul was in jail at Rome, we know that he wrote the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. We know he wrote 4 books while he's in jail here in Rome. Inspirational writing always advances the gospel. Now listen to me. There's a book in here somewhere. Somebody ought to be writing a book that's in this service tonight. A book that'll advance the gospel. I said, "Preacher, I'm not a writer. Join the club. I have to do some." If you're not going to write a book, you could write an article. You can write a blog. You know, we have some, I got about a half a dozen people in this church that I read their blogs. And they're kingdom advancers. They're gospel advancers. They're speaking into great issues. And I follow after them, read them. They write. They work on those. I'm just telling you, inspirational. The word of it. Now, you're not going to write the Bible. We got 66 books, and that's enough. We don't need, you're not going to write something that's equal to Scripture, okay? But the principle here is that Paul, while in jail, wrote. And what he wrote, I mean, we're 2,000 years after he wrote this. And we're still reading this book. It's pretty good stuff. You don't find many other books lasting 2,000 years. The Scripture goes forth. It's active and alive. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. Your book won't remain forever, but it may inspire in this generation or in a generation to come. How many of you in here, I've asked this several times, how many of you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? How many people read Pilgrim's Progress? All right. I'm saying, if you've never read the Pilgrim's Progress, you ought to get a copy and read. I just read it again. You ought to read it. It'll encourage you. They got down there. I was reading the other day. I couldn't wait to I've already read it, but I couldn't wait to get to the end. So he gets to the celestial city. Amen. But just before he gets there, he meets those giants, and they like to beat him to death. And I thought, ooh, that's a bad part right there. And he gets over there in Doubting Castle, and it's just what a journey. But he finally gets to the celestial city. The gate is open, and he's there. And then there's a guy coming behind him, but nobody greets him. The Lord comes and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's just the way that Bunyan said it. It was powerful. I'm telling you, inspirational writing is a way to advance the gospel. Have you written a personal note lately? Let me tell you, personal handwritten notes. Success Magazine says that personal handwritten notes are 100 times more powerful than a text. 100 times more powerful than a text. Just sit down and write 4 or 5 sentences, a thank you note, or writing that note to someone lost. Invite them to church. Tell them that you love them and how God loves them. Write a note to them and encourage them in the way. I'm telling you, it's 100 times more powerful when you do it with your own. I've got a pen on my desk. One of my deacons gave me this pen. It is a very expensive Mont Blanc pen. I write my personal notes with it on my desk. It's a silver Mont Blanc. I've never seen one like it. And this fellow, his daddy died, and he came to me after, and he said, "Pastor, I'd just like to share with you something out of my father's life." He was a businessman, and he was a great man, and he wrote a lot of personal notes, and he did a lot of that with this old Mont Blanc pen. Would you just receive this as a gift? I'm telling you, I treasure it, and I use it almost every day of my life, just writing a note. When's the last time you wrote a note? Just find a lost person. Write them a note. Tell them you love them in Jesus. I'm telling you, inspirational writing advances the gospel. Number 4, developing disciples advances the gospel. You find it right here in the text. He says that he was teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You teach and live the John 15 branch life, that he's the vine and we're the branches. We're in him, and through Christ comes this life. We must teach the Christ life. We must develop disciples. That's why you ought to be in a small group with a group of men or a group of women somewhere that you're in the Word of God, and they're pouring into you and you're pouring into them. I'm just telling you, it's then that you will advance the gospel, because you are teaching concerning the Lord Jesus in somebody's life. It's ministry evangelism. It's why we do the ministry village at Olive. It's why we do the Karis House. It's this ministry. It's not sitting in a room and just soaking in more stuff. I came to just a light bulb experience several years ago. I looked up on my shelf in my office. And from time to time, I have to get another shelf because I have more books that come. I have people give me books, and I buy some. And I looked over, and there were two things that were happening. Number one, my part of my library on leadership was growing faster than the part of my library on lordship. I was reading more about how to be a leader than I was being a follower. And the Bible doesn't tell us anywhere to be a leader. It doesn't. It tells you to follow the leader. Now, I know what John Maxwell says, everything rises and falls on leadership. That sounds good. And I understand we got to have leaders, and I'm trying to be one. But let me tell you what, where life really rises and falls is on followership. It's when you follow the leader and he makes you the influencer that you need to be. And that's the kind of discipleship that you need to teach. It's not just sitting in a class writing down facts and figures. I noticed I had a lot of these notebooks on my shelf where I'd been to these conferences and wrote in, filled in all the blanks. But you got to do more than just write down stuff and sit and soak. You got to begin then to take it and give it to somebody else. And you've really not become a disciple yourself until you're a disciple maker and giving it away to someone else. That's what Paul was doing. In this jail cell, he was preaching the kingdom, but he was also teaching the Lord Jesus. Developing disciples advances the gospel. Number five, spiritual friendships advance the gospel. Notice in verse number 30 it says, he stayed 2 full years in his old rented quarters and he was welcoming all who came to him. Who came to see him while he is in jail? Well, I can prove by looking in Scripture that Luke, Aristarchus, Tychicus, who took the Ephesian letter, Timothy, Epaphroditus, he brought the Philippian gifts to Paul. Mark, Justice, Epaphras, and Demas, I know that those people came to see him. Friendships, spiritual friendships advance the gospel. Small groups are big time in church. Not just big roomfuls like this, but small groups are very important. Where you gather together, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. Just groups of people that you get with. Spiritual friendships advance the gospel. Are you in a small group? Secondly, do you have spiritual friends? Doc, I wrote down the other day for our staff. We had one of the greatest staff meetings Tuesday. And we didn't know that we were going to have a flood on Wednesday, and it helped us. We had water all out here. But I called our group together because the storm was coming in. We'd planned a picnic, but we canceled that. And so I went to the board, Dr. Morrison, and I wrote down 4 names of dead people. I wrote down Loma first. That was Loma West. Loma was on the search committee with Dr. when I came here. The West Annex, you see it out there on the side of the building over here, is a name for her husband. That's not a directional sign like north, south, east, and west. Mr. West died during church. He had a heart attack leaving church. I was not preaching. Dr. Passmore killed him. I didn't do it. I'm just telling you. Okay. That was Brother Jerry's spiritual giftedness. He's not here tonight, so I'll pick on him. I didn't think I saw him anyway. I wrote Loma down. She's one of my spiritual friends. We had a hurricane storm came through. Dave Corson. Some of y'all remember Dave Corson, used to be our administrator. Dave and I went over here to her house down Whitmire Drive where she used to live. Loma and I sat on a big tree so we could kind of bend it down while Dave cut it. We just had a great time, and I will never forget. We got ready to leave, and Miss Loma came up to me. She said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, don't you ever forget, you are the pastor of our church. No one else is the pastor of our church, and that is what God's called you to do. I'll never forget it. Tell you, Carrie, I never forget that that little finger that was this long, she was my spiritual friend. Secondly, I just wrote DW up there. That's Dennis Wilson. Big D. I've traveled the world with him. Dennis, one of those three guys, went and got me water one time, brought it back to me from North Alabama. I've never named the other two, can't till they die. That's the deal. Dennis was one of those guys. Boy, he encouraged me. He'd put that big arm around me. Love Dennis. I wrote Bob Davis's name on that board. If you go out the back way tonight, you'll go out Bob Davis way. The reason it's named that is because I asked him to put his name on there, because Bob told me, if he told me once, he told me 100 times, Pastor, if we're going to grow this campus, we've got to get egress out the back to Whitmire, because we were locked in over here and we couldn't get. If you think it's hard to get out of this campus now, you ought to cut off that back route. He'd look at me and he'd say, you got to have access and egress, access and egress, access and egress. That's the way he'd say it every time. Except he'd be down like he said, access and egress, access and egress, access. And he didn't have a neck. I mean, his head was just screwed into his shoulders. That's the way he was. He built this building. He walked all over this building up here. When we built this building, he was the chairman of the group that did this. Bob Davis, my spiritual friend. He had great input into my life. Spiritual friendships advance the gospel. You got any spiritual? I'm talking about people that'll tell you the truth. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Paul had. He's in jail, and these people came by. Let me tell you, they didn't talk about fruitcake and lollipops when they came by the jailhouse. They talked about real life issues. That's what you got to have. Some, and I'm saying, if you got a handful of those, oh man, you're in good shape. Paul had spiritual friendships. Number 6, personal evangelism advances the gospel. There's one more guy that came by this jail cell. I can prove it to you by reading the book of Philemon. Paul's in the jail. Every 8 hours or 10, another of the Praetorian Guard would come. This guy'd go home. He'd take the chain, link it to his wrist, over to Paul's leg or wrist. He was chained up. How do you know that? Ephesians 6:20 tells us. Paul was in jail for the gospel. He was in chains for the gospel. He was chained to the Praetorian. Can you imagine being chained to Paul? I mean, wouldn't it be great? But what do you think he talked to those guys about? I guarantee he gave them Jesus, 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 Jesus. He said, guys, I'm writing this letter. There was a knock at the door one day. I can just see Paul looking over at that jailer. Say, you going to get it? Come in. And a young boy walked in that Roman cell, that house he was living in, at rented quarters. That boy asked him, he said, are you the preacher? He said, my name's Paul. He said, are you the one that has been in Jerusalem, been preaching? Talking about a man that died and rose from the dead? He said, that's me. Paul said, who are you? He said, my name's Onesimus. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm a slave. Philemon's my owner, and I've come to Rome on, but I'm not going back. I'm runaway. I'm leaving him. And we know from the Word of God in verse number 10 of the book of Philemon that Paul led that man to Christ because he said he was my begotten in the Spirit. He led him to Jesus. And then he wrote a letter, and we have it in the scriptures, Philemon. He wrote it back to Philemon to say a word for Onesimus. If Sean was here tonight, he doesn't say Onesimus. He says Onesimus. It's the way they say it in South Africa. Matter of fact, you look at it, it makes sense. O-N-E-1, Seamus. An Onesimus. Do you have an Onesimus in your life that you've shared the gospel with and led them to the Lord? Have you ever told anybody? Let me tell you, that's how you advance the gospel. That's how you do it unhindered. Maybe it's somebody you're working with. That's part of the Praetorian Guard. You're chained up with them every day. You say, preacher, boy, that's tough. Those people, like, yeah, the people you work with, they know you best. Or do you have people like Onesimus, the least of these, the down and out? I mean, it's a slave boy. He ain't got anything to give to Paul. Paul had a lot to give to him because he gave him the gospel. Led him to faith in Christ. He was the least of these. Be very careful that you don't walk by the least of these, because when you've done it to the least of these, Jesus says, you've done it unto me. He was there 2 years. Welcomed all that came to him. Well, sometimes people that come to me, I don't want to welcome. How about you? See, he welcomed everybody that came. I'm sure he had some hard cases. I'm sure he had people come by there and telling him if he'd do such and such, things would be better. He's preaching the kingdom, teaching the Lord Jesus, and he did it with all openness. He didn't hide. He was unashamed. And he was unhindered.